This is Andrew.
This is Seth.
This is Thurgood Marshall.
So this week we are doing Charlie X, or Charlie 10.
I thought it was Charlie 10.
Yeah, it's Roman numerals, clearly, right? Yeah.
No, this isn't the Weapon Plus
program. No, it's Charlie 10, because they talk about hands and how many fingers you have on your hands.
They did.
It's 10.
And
10.
How they're perfectly shaped to hold a banana.
Yeah.
Therefore, God.
Charlie X doesn't even make sense.
Hey, was he formerly Charlie?
Oh, my God.
Was he in the Canadian Super Soldier program?
This is not...
Did he used to be
The Weapon X program is multi-nation.
Non-regular.
Okay. It just happened to be based in Canada. And we're kind of moving away from the topic.
Yeah, but judging by the people that were in the program, I mean, like... When they say multi-nation, do they mean, like, indigenous people nations? Like, the Sioux were in there, and the Iroquois.
Yeah. I say indigenous, like, fuck you guys.
Because it's not like there's a Russian dude in the Weapon X.
I know, Russia has its own program. There was a phrase.
Is it multinational also, from everyone inside Russia?
What about those ranchers that declared themselves not part of the federal government? Does it include them?
All right, so as we said in our promo, we have a very special guest this week. Thurgood Marshall is with us, MD, and well, let's just jump right in, right? Without arguing about what the title of the episode was.
Well, it's Charlie X.
Yeah, we're settled on that.
Okay, good. So right away, the first thing I thought was when I saw Kirk's uniform.
Before that, the ship that they docked with, the, like, sensor probe ship that looked like a phaser with nacelles on it.
Okay.
Had an extra phaser around, and we're like, yeah, throw some engines on it.
That's weird, because most of the time that you run into a ship in Star Trek, the original series, it's just another Constitution-class vessel.
I mean, and the docking thing, right, they're going to cut that out, right? You don't dock with chips that much. Why would you when you can beam people over?
Yeah. I don't know why.
That's just like an early, like, we're still figuring stuff out.
Yeah, they're still figuring out what they're going to do. The first thing I noticed is that he's wearing a different uniform shirt.
He's wearing a very, very flattering poker table felt shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
With gold trim on the neck.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's to denote rank of some kind. But the first thing I thought is, because it's a little lower cut, I thought, how many beers have you had today, Kirk?
Maybe. Some people were just straight up wearing Snuggies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those maintenance guys, and they still wear those.
Well, not even the two captains from the Antares, whose Starfleet logo was fucking sideways on their shirt and, like, elongated.
I think that's, again, they're still figuring out what they're going to do. Like, is this... the set Starfleet, or is this a ship insignia?
It's just it's like shit.
Because later on, Starfleet, like the Starfleet logo, is slightly different on different ships, but not sideways and shit. It's just like there's like another bar behind the symbol, but that's much later in our era of Star Trek. All right, so the kid shows up, and the first thing he does is makes himself cross-eyed, or rolls his eyes back in his head. Is that what it is?
Was the first thing he does?
Well, he introduces himself, and that's like the first thing I know. This is like it shoots to him going or doing that eye thing. I was like, "What the hell? Is it supposed to be ominous or menacing?" Like
he puts his head down, and then rolls his eyes back up in, like he's having a seizure while taking a very large shit.
Right. As far as just like looks go, not menacing. It doesn't seem like he's concentrating.
I mean, it plays the music, which gives you the...
Yeah, it plays the music.
That's really the only cue.
Yeah, that's how I knew.
I do like that he is wearing a World War II bag lady's fucking clothes.
Yeah, though. He is a Hungarian refugee. Like,
he needed just a scarf.
It's like part fur, part like burlap,
part couch.
I mean, because what do you make that jacket out of? If he's been on the planet alone all that time.
That's a charitable explanation. And so, not the fact that they had like a $20 budget.
They had enough for a fucking goddamn green felt shirt for Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk's gonna have like three or four shirt uniforms.
He's first
build. He killed a fucking pool table to get that shirt. Are you kidding me?
Alright, so he goes to do those medical examinations.
Oh, well, first he talks to Yeoman.
Oh, yeah, he meets the Yeoman.
Yeoman. Yeah.
She's still got her wicker basket hairstyle.
Yeah, because her time will come.
Just interwoven.
It's apparently his first time
meeting a woman. Yeah, because he's been on the planet alone all that time.
Yeah, he's like, he has a gas because he's like... Oh.
He's got historical tapes? Yeah, he's... But he is definitely floored, and I suppose I would be too. I mean, I still get kind of laid out sometimes when I see a beautiful woman.
Beautiful yeoman.
Yeah, beautiful yeoman always gets the old blood going.
Yeah. Kirk takes no warning signs from this.
He didn't take any signs when he asked the captain and I guess the executive officer.
Yeah, when they're like,
the probe ship.
Like, no, we're out of here.
He was like, oh.
You want brandy?
No. So how is he like? And they both just turn into real fast talking, like, oh, yeah, great, fucking fantastic. Oh, I love him. He's fucking fantastic. Oh, yeah, I can't say enough of good things about him.
Yeah, they turn into the Gilmore Girls for a second. and then they're just...
Then they have to leave.
Yeah, they
gotta
leave.
Way to go.
Yeah, they don't even have any entertainment tapes or anything.
No.
Entertainment tapes. Yeah, so that's the only, like...
I hope it was Bloodsport.
Supposed to be... It probably was Bloodsport. Yeah, that's probably all... That's in
high demand. 80 copies of Bloodsport.
Not enough.
So medical exam.
So then he's going
to be... That medical exam...
Where he's on the inverted Stairmaster.
It's on the inverted Stairmaster.
I like to call it the rape table because he's on his back and like kicking his feet at resistance pads, and it's taking measurements off his body of like blood pressure and stuff.
Respiration, blood pressure.
But there's nothing hooked up to him whatsoever.
The table's reading it.
From some sort of probe in an area that's easily accessible.
I'm saying the table's
on a spaceship.
The table's sensitive, can take basic readings, but just by laying on it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, and that thing's clearly a test your cardiovascular health type of deal. I mean, it looks silly.
And we're close to getting technology in real life right now that can read your blood pressure without touching you. And
yeah, let's not forget that I now take my kid's temperature the way they take it in Star Trek by just rubbing a wand across their head. Blows my mind every single time I do it. Just go, ooh, beep, beep, beep. I'm in Star Trek. You're fine.
But yeah, I'm on board with the rape machine or whatever you're calling it.
Yeah, it's the rape
channel. I mean, it looks silly, but... It works for me.
It serves no practical purpose than to put someone on their back with their legs up in the air, slightly spread.
Well, he's pumping his legs, so he's getting a little, he's getting the heart rate up, so he's testing his breathing.
Maybe those readings are more accurate when you have all your blood in your head.
I guess.
Yeah, I want your blood to pool up in your back real nice.
Maybe it's like...
That's how we get the accurate readings.
Maybe it's like, you know, the... Taking someone's pulse to see if they, you know, what their heart rate's like went the way of, you know, the Pony Express. Now we have the rape table in Star Trek where it's like, oh, no, you lay on your back and pump these fucking foot dials and it will tell me what your heart rate is at currently. I don't need to look at my watch anymore.
Yeah.
Miracle of modern science.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, the heart rate wasn't a number on the display. It was just a flashing.
Yeah. His heart is working.
There were no numbers for that part.
Yeah, it's the everything okay is alarm.
Oh, yeah, that's good. So he gets clean bill of health.
4.0.
Yeah, 4.0. Is that a term that they used to use to mean clean bill of health? I've never heard that.
I think, what did he say? He said 4.0, I think.
Yeah, 4.0.
And then he's like, that means 100%.
Right. Is that a grade point average reference?
That's space new math. They predicted.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just an old timey thing from the '60s or if it's.
They predicted Common Core. There you go.
They predicted Common Core.
Yeah, 4.0, 100%. Don't know how, but yeah, go for it.
Yes, so he gets clean about bill of health with the 4.0. He leaves.
Oh yes, yes. If Bones likes him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yes, if Bones likes him, but
and Bones is real like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not, kid? I mean, that's how I would respond if a kid, if a new student was like, do you like me? I'd be like,
I have no idea sure. not to. Yeah.
No, no, I don't. Because you asked me that question. That's what my response would be. You're too needy, obviously.
You'd have been the first one to vanish. He's never met people. He's like just met people recently. Like, he's never interacted, so he's going to be weird socially.
Well, I mean, except for everyone on that ship that got him before.
Yeah. The 20 people.
Yeah, they were mean to him.
Yeah.
Although, he'd probably say that about the people on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
No, it turned out slightly better than it did.
Well, yeah, I had a woman with a wicker basket for a hairstyle, so.
Yeah.
That's definitely got him on board with, like, oh no, Enterprise is better than last ship.
That's true.
Yeah, this one has ladies.
MILFs.
No, this one has lady.
Yeah, because he ignores all the other women. So then, he's walking through the halls, and we see that guy feeding some pipe up or down.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, he's marking Twain.
Yeah, he's Mark Twain! Safe water!
Dipstick? Like, are they checking the oil?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just like a, hey, make it look like the ship is working and doing things. People work on the ship.
It was like a floor vent. Like, it was a little floor grate.
Yeah.
And he was just shoving some sort of giant dowel with indicators every several feet. Which makes me think that's how they check their speed. Like an old ship, checking for how many, you know, knots they're doing based on. What's our warp? They shove this giant metal rod down with indicators, and however many it bends, that's your warp factor.
I'm guessing
it warped the metal rod. Just like the knots of a ship. There we go.
So they've got like hundreds of these things laying around?
Just one. One dude does it.
I'm guessing it's just one of those things like, we need to make it look like stuff is happening on this ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's important because they then say they'll see each other on the wreck floor and one of them slaps the other one's butt.
Right. He sees the two guys
foreshadowing.
Slap each other on the butt.
Because that's
just a master of foreshadowing.
Yeah, because that's, you know.
They were playing baseball in that tube.
Well, I mean, friends do that. Slap each other on the butt sometimes. I mean, I'm not, you know, a slap-ass type friend, but
There's a very specific group of men that slap each other on the butt all the time for non-sports-related reasons.
Your people?
Gays, yeah, they're gays.
Well, I mean, maybe we don't know. Maybe those guys are fucking.
All right.
Maybe.
So that's important because
Yeah, it's because he goes and sees Janice, Yeoman Rand, and when she says, like, meet me later, he slaps her on the butt because he just observed that behavior, so he thinks it's
right.
A normal, friendly behavior.
Yeah.
Hey, pull the monkey, see monkey do.
You know, it's not an unfriendly behavior, but when paired with that opposite sex thing.
Yeah. First, he gives her a gift, though.
The gift was perfect.
Sure.
I notice he doesn't give it with
salt
hands, though. It's not a true gift. I mean,
well, he's never been given a gift.
He doesn't know.
Maybe it was green salt. They had some left over. Last episode.
They had some salt left over.
Yeah, she asked where he got it from.
And he's just kind of like,
and he's like, it's a gift. And she's like, they don't have any in the store. And he's like, well, it's a gift. You take it. It doesn't matter that there's no possible way I can explain how I got this or that you
knew. And she just doesn't ask any more questions.
Just like, oh, well, it's the thing I want. So obviously, you know.
If someone got me a new something I wanted that was like, what? Oh, where'd you get this? This isn't in. You can't buy this in town. And they're just like, hey, it doesn't matter. I got it for you. Okay. I mean, I guess I kind of like it, so I'm not going to ask a lot of questions about how I got it.
It's a little different.
I mean, if someone got me a missile, I'd be like, whoa, hey.
I mean,
where'd we get this?
But I mean, that would be like coming up to you and handing you the Curiosity rover because it's clearly not any way I can obtain it, i.e. there's none in the store,
not
on the ship.
Not the same.
I could go to the next town over and get you the CD that doesn't exist in the town that we are currently in.
Right, well, she doesn't know. Maybe he had that as a...
He was suitcasing this thing?
Or maybe he stole it from another crew member.
I mean, it does a good job of, like, he's going to do weirder and weirder stuff, and it starts with something small like that.
Yeah, it's just...
And eventually it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you blew up that other ship, huh?
Yeah, she should ask more questions.
I mean, I see why she didn't, but I get that it's meant to foreshadow he's something's not on the level. Something's on the level.
So then she tells him he has to go talk to Captain Kirk as to why it's inappropriate to randomly slap a pretty much stranger woman's ass.
Yeah, the rules of ass slappery.
Yeah.
Right.
The etiquette of ass slapping.
Which I don't understand why she couldn't just be like, hey, you know what, I don't appreciate that.
But she also couldn't vocalize, like, oh, I don't know where you got this thing, and I don't know how you know you got this thing, and I'm a little creeped out by it.
She was just excited about
being drunk.
I mean, I don't know if they ever wrote that into Yeoman Rand's character, but it's definitely what was happening in the background.
Ooh. Not what I meant, but okay.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
Yeoman Rand is only in the first season in three of the movies, but the reason she's only in the first season is because she gets fired for being a horrible alcoholic. But it's all right, because they bring on Walter Koenig, so we get Chekhov instead.
Fair enough. So he goes into Kirk's... Is the bridge?
No, he goes to the... her on the butt.
And then it goes to the bridge where Kirk is reading cheese slices, and Bones and Spock are talking about the Thasians.
Right.
The legend of the...
Were they? I missed that entirely. Yeah, I didn't...
That definitely happened.
I didn't pick that up at all. Oh.
Because they're saying, like, maybe he's had contact with them. Spock says it proves there's other intelligent life on the planet because he couldn't survive on his own.
Yeah.
Right. I remember them talking about that, but I don't remember them saying the legend of the Thasians.
And they're fighting over it, and Bones is being... way too generous, where Spock's like, how did you survive for 17 or 12 years? There wasn't enough food, and Bones is just always the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, he could have found berries and shit, and it's like,
people survive.
Well, Spock, like, we did scans, probes, and there were no berries.
Because he ate them all.
Because he ate all the berries, guys.
They don't ask a lot of questions, and given the last episode, they should probably ask more questions to people that they bring onto the ship.
Well,
or interact with, just in general.
Somebody went back and put star dates on all the episodes, and the way they aired, like the way we're watching them, is not like the order that apparently they happened. Some of the episodes happened like before other each other.
Well, and you could also argue they pick up hundreds of passengers where nothing special happens. Like,
yeah, it's just like, oh, you survived a miraculous thing. Great, we're glad to have you. Glad you survived. Let's. We got shit to do. We gotta move on with this bullshit. I'm not worried about every 17-year-old that comes in here. Everybody wants to bang Yeoman Rand. Nobody gets to. Except that one kid. Oh, I'm just assuming that in this mythology, there's a guy that actually scored Yeoman Rand. Maybe Expanded Universe? Sounds a novel?
Maybe that's maybe he tied up her hair in that tightly woven Kevlar vest, and now her legs don't open for anyone. So it's like a promised knot.
That's definitely it.
Kirk is reading cheese slices.
Cheese slices, yeah.
And... they're fighting, and then...
so next we go to the rec center, right?
Then
the rec hall.
The Bones tells Kirk he has to be like a... he should be a father figure.
And Kirk's like,
and Kirk,
fuck you, you do it.
Well, Kirk, that's what he should have said. He should have been like, I can't be the father figure to the 17-year-old kid that just showed up on my ship. Because I'm too busy being the fucking captain.
Yeah.
Why don't you go do a Bones?
I won't even be the father figure to my own son when that happens later.
True.
So then what after that? Our 15-minute musical interlude?
Oh, yeah.
So then we go to the, like, rec hall where we get to see the Vulcan harp for the first time.
And
we'll see it a bunch of times. And we see 3D chess in the background.
Uhura just...
Uhura singing, like, four songs.
Just making up songs as she goes along.
Yeah, just Fred Schneider style.
Songs of my
impromptu people. Jam.
Songs of Thurgood Marshall's people.
It's like Ella Fitzgerald. She's pretty good.
Well, I mean, Uhura's character is like a musician. They make that up. Like, later on, they introduce that.
But yeah,
it comes into play in other episodes and stuff. One of the reasons she was such a good communications officer, frequencies and shit.
It's because she could think of...
She's good at picking up
songs,
frequencies and shit.
It's not how that works, but okay.
All right. Reaching.
Well, I'm guessing at the time, they're still thinking that earpiece is actually spitting, like, static and signal and not just a clear message.
Because
otherwise, you need someone to man a communication station at all.
I should play drums because I'm very punctual. That's not the same thing. Yes, it is. Both are about just being on time for things.
Well, she also just speaks a bunch of fucking languages.
Yeah.
But later on, they make her being a magician part of her character.
All right.
I mean, clearly she is. She's just Fred Schneider the hell out of that song.
Yeah, she went to Julie.
Until she got force choked.
Yeah, she did get force choked.
Yeah, until she gets for a force choked.
Because no one was paying attention to Charlie, the 14-year-old woman.
Right. I also thought
crying.
Uhura's starting to sing like with Spock. It kind of seemed like a little bit of a continuation of that flirting from the previous episode.
Yeah, they totally.
It's definitely a little bit of, yeah. So there's more of that foundation for the reboot universe's bullshit. Anyway, when Uhura stops singing, something I know is Spock kind of looks at us, like he stops playing and then like looks at us hard, like.
The first time she stops singing, or the second time?
The second time when she gets force choked. He kind of is like, is it my harp? Did this stop it? He kind of like looks at it like, is something wrong with the harp? But it's just kind of weird because she just stopped singing.
Hmm. No, she's like actually choking. And everyone's just like, oh, fuck it. She's done singing. I'm going to leave the recreation area.
Ooh, magic tricks.
Yeah, until fucking Johnny Big Forehead over there starts flipping over porno cards, Yeoman Rand. And then everyone starts clapping like, oh, something new to entertain us.
Yeah.
I hope Uhura's okay over there. Just choking to death and Spock staring at his harp like, oh, music stop.
Well, I'm sure when everyone stopped paying attention to the music, he just stopped.
He just disappeared.
He stopped choking her. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Why does he choke her? I mean,
because he wants attention and Yeoman Rand won't pay attention.
Also, she's singing about him, though. That's second verse or second song or whatever.
Yeah, but it's...
And even that song's kind of inappropriate. She's like...
Well, this
he's waiting to use...
Yeah, the song's about
he's
how...
He's gonna embrace you.
The song is about how he wants Yeoman Rand because apparently Uhura, not only being good at music, comms officer, can speak many languages, she's also the only person that notices a fucking thing.
Yeah, and what does she get?
She's the only keen observer of your behavior.
Yeah, she's the only person that can observe. Like,
yeah, I mean, Janice figures it out.
Eventually.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, okay.
She just wasn't paying enough attention to him, like a cat.
How'd you get a fucking card in my bra?
Yeah, that was really
good. She just, like, giggles.
Yeah, she's like, whoa, what a great trick. How'd you get this in here?
Well, he flips over the three cards, and they go from regular playing cards to three different pictures of her.
Not in that room.
Not in that room, and in, like...
Glamour shots.
Yeah, glamour shots. And she's like, how did you do that? And he's like, oh, they taught me on the last ship. And she's like, oh, well, that's fucking good enough answer for me, because obviously whatever first thing someone says to me, I believe wholeheartedly, no matter how big my doubt is, because
it's just a really good trick, guys.
Yeah. Super good. You fucking David Blander.
Fucking Chris Angel. Mind freak.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Chris Angel, if you're listening and you want to come on the show, feel free. Contact us.
We'd be a mind freak.
No, we'd definitely be a mind freak.
So then we get Kirk.
Talking about meatloaf. Shaping turkey meatloaf like turkeys for Thanksgiving. I don't care if they eat meatloaf on Thanksgiving, but it's going to be shaped like turkeys.
Yeah.
They're celebrating Thanksgiving?
Well, he says on Earth they eat turkeys.
Okay.
But we only have meatloaf. I guess the chef?
Not Charlie, so the chef should already know that.
Well, yeah. But I like that.
You're only on a 5-year mission.
I like
people are already protesting Thanksgiving right now, let alone like 400 years from now.
Well, maybe they get over it.
I'm just saying America doesn't exist the way it does today in Star Trek, so.
That's true. Maybe Thanksgiving just gets big on its own.
Yeah.
I'd be for that.
Maybe it's a totally different Thanksgiving holiday.
Maybe
it's only about giant inflatable Macy's parades. That's what Thanksgiving is.
It's just about the parade.
It's just about the parade, the Rose Parade, and the Rose Bowl.
And Black Friday.
And Black Friday, yeah.
Hopefully.
That's all it is.
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, but then he talks to Kirk about not slapping girls on the butt. And this is literally, it's like the worst explanation for why you shouldn't treat people a certain way.
I feel like Kirk doesn't know how to proceed because he's like, oh yeah, I probably shouldn't do that either, but I do. So he's like, oh yeah,
you can't do things with women like that. There's no good reason to hit a woman. But a man and a man, like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Like, you just beat the shit out of each other, but you never hit a woman.
Yeah, it's just so bad for a guy who's clearly, well, I mean, later on we'll figure out that...
He is the backhand king of Chicago, from what I remember. he will lay women across the deck with one swift hit.
He's also been with a lot of women. Thurgood's explanation was great, because... he says, you know, he does those things. He probably just full on cups somebody's ass on the way out.
Yeah,
and it's now like, hey, just don't do.
Yeah, it'd be like your racist grandfather trying to tell you to like be nice to the black kids down the street.
He probably grabbed the chef's ass. He was like, the crew wants turkey and I want buns. How about that? Give me some of that.
I want a little sausage.
I did like that they had Kirk in a lot of drag queen makeup for that scene also. Just a lot of fucking mascara.
I didn't notice that.
So then the Antares blows up.
Yeah, the Antares blows up.
And before it blows up, like, they're trying to warn Kirk about something. I wonder what it could possibly be, because fucking Charlie's right behind Kirk for some reason, because anyone can go on the bridge.
He said he could come on the bridge. He asked and he said no, and he's like, I won't do anything, and Kirk's like, oh, alright.
Yeah, fuck protocol. Come on to the bridge.
Yeah, whatever.
Weird kid goes up there, and he just radio cuts off, and then he goes, oh, the ship wasn't built well, and instantly leaves.
And it's like, well, I gotta go.
Didn't even say I gotta go, just fucking bailed.
Well, no, he doesn't go until they say something about the turkey, and then he's like, hey, and he leaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. The turkey. And then walks out.
Yeah, and then
that's a good one.
And then it's like, oh, where's probe the area where we were getting our signal? And it's like, oh, what do we got? A bunch of debris. What's the debris? It's the fucking ship that blew up.
So yeah. He's not sure what a woman is, but he knows how to make turkeys.
Yeah. He creates a complex biological organism.
Ship blows up and everyone's like, oh shit, the ship blew up. And then the chef's like, hey, you're not going to believe this, Captain, but inside all my ovens, I got actual turkeys.
Were they alive? Because that would be a fucking nightmare for that chef.
Well, there's so many parts of that are hilarious. Like, you're not going to believe what just happened. It's like, well, a ship blew up, so what do you got, fucking chef? Because unless our ship's going to blow up, I really don't give a fuck. Oh, the meatloaf that was in the ovens is now turkeys. He probably should have responded back, why the fuck do we have ovens on a spaceship? Nuclear-powered ovens? What the fuck are you people doing?
Well, I mean, they still cook stuff. They haven't gone full replicator yet. They replicate, like, masks.
Yeah, but they don't have ovens on the International Space Station or the Space Shuttle.
Ovens.
Right, but there's a much more complex ship than...
It is much more complex. It has a fucking space oven for some fucking reason.
There's multiple.
There's 20 Julia Childs on there making fucking turkeys.
Well, they gotta make food for 400. How are they cooking that food?
I thought it was 287.
It's 428.
It's 428.
You'd probably dehydrate it because you would need...
Well, it's meatloaf.
You would need everything fucking dehydrated in pill form. Because I'm pretty sure they don't have fucking cows.
They said it was meatloaf, and they said they were going to sculpt it like a turkey.
None of it makes sense. All right, let's just...
Makes sense to me that they have a galley, you know?
Yeah, they have a galley. You don't need a fucking oven. You just need something to heat water to rehydrate your food.
your assumption of food is dehydrated.
They basically said that.
Not only do they have a shitload of fucking ovens on the Enterprise, they've got a lot of cold storages and walk-in freezers and shit for their ice cream and everything.
Probably some.
No.
No. That would go bad.
They store actual food.
Well, they just said they only have like the meatloaf stuff. They don't have turkeys.
Right, but meatloaf is perishable. It's not like...
No, but it's compactable. Just add water.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean they don't need to cook shit once they add water to it.
Add hot water. Yeah, just make water hot.
You don't need a battery of ovens.
I feel like this is not... This is like a really deep tangent we've gone
on. You should remember this and move on.
Yeah, just agree that they a Federation starship doesn't need an Auschwitz bank of ovens.
They definitely don't have that.
So then they're playing space chess.
Right, 3D chess, which somebody actually has now invented, and you can play. And
Kirk somehow wins by being illogical, which is pretty dangerous. You can win chess by being unpredictable, not by being illogical.
Well, I think that might be part of what he means. Like, your moves are unpredictable. Kirk calls himself inspired. He says, my moves are inspired.
Yeah.
I hope what he did was just flick off the king. Spock's king flicked it right off. And put his in its place.
He actually pulls the full Charlie X. He melts the chess set every time he loses. So, Spock is going to teach Charlie how to play. Checkmates him in two moves.
Literally two moves.
Two moves?
I don't know how it's even possible.
Well, space. Well, 3D chess is...
You can checkmate someone in three moves in real chess, I think.
Well, in 3D chess, you can do it in two? I don't know.
I guess so.
Checkmate in two.
Yeah.
Without taking any pieces, also.
In fact, we didn't see any pieces get taken at all, I don't think. Even when Kirk was playing.
Yeah.
Mr. Spock.
Well, I mean, I'm not a master of 3D chess, so.
Well, either is Charlie. Can't
speak to it. Yeah, neither is Charlie. Charlie loses.
Has a fit like a child, says, no, I didn't lose. And Spock just leaves because he doesn't want to deal with that bullshit.
Then he shows us his O face again and melts the chessboard.
Yeah.
I mean, the chess pieces. Face. Yeah, the power shit face.
Then he goes out, meets Yeoman Rand, and the space meth girl, who's the same age as him.
Right, space meth. Well, here's my idea when I see the two of them. Like, you know, Yeoman Rand's got the woven hair, and then she has kind of an intricate hairdo also, and then later on in the episode I noticed that all the other women we see have like very intricate hairdos for like a military vessel.
Yeah. I mean,
Starfleet's not military, but it's also military.
Maybe they have hair weaving machines. No big deal.
They have ovens that do it.
Yeah, oh yeah, they can't have an oven, they have a hair moving machine.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously there's very little standards since fucking anyone can go on the bridge of a ship.
Right.
Maybe it's like that infomercial thing they have that'll put your hair into a, like the braids.
Like a,
where it just like spins.
Like a Floby meets wire tie machine.
Yep.
That's good. I like that.
So then He tells the girl his age to fuck off. And I remember thinking, she's like upset and walks off. And I just remember thinking, I've been meaner. I've been way meaner.
She's like, I'm going to go find someone who's interested in my time or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you had a 3-second conversation and you're already like, oh, this person's not paying enough attention to me. Bye.
Yeah. And then Charlie X is like, I don't want to be with her. I want to be with you.
Yeah, you smell good.
Yeah.
You smell good.
Smell like a girl.
You smell like a girl.
You know what? I bet she smells like a girl too.
It wasn't real clear on what he was going for there.
Yeah. It smells like a girl.
I mean, smells he's better,
like,
sure.
You smell like a girl, but she is a girl.
She smells like cat piss because she does a lot of meth. She smells like a ghost. So I just thought
cat piss and teen spirit. That's what she smells like.
Somebody's gotta teach this kid to like punch his weight. Like, don't get me wrong. When I was 17, I hit on women in their 30s. Sure. But, like, when they shot me down, I just kind of, like, moved on. I didn't, like, obsess over it. And then I was probably a little less willing to give up when girls my age were.
Well, maybe the first girl you ever saw was.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's just someone needs to have a conversation with this kid. Like, hey, when women in their 30s shoot you down, you need to just back off.
That's pretty much the conversation Kirk has with him.
Yeah, immediately after, which was in the episode, which is what we're talking about, not your personal anecdotal evidence. Thank you.
Oh my God, what is...
So they move on and have that exact conversation you just detailed that you wished someone would have with him between Kirk and him.
Right, because I didn't know that was going to happen next after I wrote that note, fuckface.
Well, it did.
Right.
Because
I'm glad the plot is moving along as I wish it to.
Well, because in my notes I have space rape turns into whiny space conversation about sex with Kirk.
Yeah.
And so he got a really grabby with her, and then she went and told Kirk, and Kirk was like, well, I'll go talk to him because that's obviously my fucking job as captain of goddamn starship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, it's cool, just like, go slow. Then everything's okay.
Yeah.
Be gentle. Well, I mean, what's good advice?
I mean, he kind of says something about consent, but he's not really feeling it.
And then he just kind of says, like, but you know what? Just back off her.
Back off her. Go after one of
the... Go for a meth girl.
Yeah, go after one of the cat piss smelling women. Yeah,
go for one of the cat pissers.
And that really just awful conversation turns into...
Yeah, like, let's
a
go...
A hilarious workout.
And the first thing I thought was, like, when you were having that conversation, I taught a kid who was just like that. Who, like, when you told him he couldn't do something, he was just as whiny as Charlie X. I mean, he didn't wish anybody into nothingness, but...
Yeah. The line about...
my favorite ever.
Million... And there's a million things in this universe you can have. There's a million things you can't have.
A million things you can't.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. Sage-like.
There's probably more things that you can and cannot have.
I don't know.
He's using reverse hyperbole.
He said universe.
So yeah, they apparently are going to the physical fitness center of the Enterprise.
Best scene of the episode.
Yeah, it's past all the ovens. And when you enter it, there's... five people doing fucking somersaults and cartwheels at your ass, apparently. Right.
Even though it's like a fitness area, gym kind of thing, mm-hmm. Kirk's the only one with his shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the captain, does whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, clearly. There's no other explanation.
Everyone
else is wearing one of those Starfleet geese.
Well, they're all just wearing just red tights with high black socks for some reason. And... pink gi tops.
Well, all anybody has is those high socks so that they don't chafe with their fine Italian leather shoes.
Those fine Italian leather shoes do not chafe. Period.
Yeah. So there's the one guy working out on a machine that he can't possibly be working out on because all he's doing is pulling levers down.
Yeah, he's doing like a...
pulling levers down towards...
Yeah, like a one-arm high row.
I don't know.
But it doesn't look like there's any resistance in what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the guy, he wasn't in very good shape, so... It's like a Bowflex. He just didn't hook it up.
It's a Bowflex. He didn't. Well, I mean, that's the problem.
He's just doing just the bar.
There's the two guys playing the... doing that joust-like game where they have the two...
The pugil sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riker will end up playing that game a lot in Next Generation, but...
So, Kirk is teaching Charlie how to fall...
I think it had to take a fall.
Yeah. How to roll.
Well, he wants to teach him how to roll. Refuses to learn how to roll.
Yeah.
Well, he's all pissed off about it. He wants to fight. He doesn't want to roll.
I mean, learning how to take a fall is an important part of athletics and fighting.
And losing fights.
Yeah.
Man.
Losing fights to...
I'll tell you when you lose. And you're going to lose a lot in the beginning.
Yeah, so he calls over the guy who's working on the most arbitrarily pointless fucking workout device ever.
Quit doing jack shit in here.
Trying to run off the numbers of his Fitbit. Yeah.
He's like, get over here. This ain't a Planet Fitness. Work out with me for a second.
Yeah. So they roll around, throw each other. And then Kirk's like, you want to give it a try, Charlie? And he's like, yeah, fuck yeah. You know. So
that's exactly
like the longest back and forth. I guess they were fighting. I don't know.
I think he was trying to do the throw. And Kirk was giving him resistance.
Well, I mean, to do a throw, you need to actually move pressure more than just your leg. He was just kicking his leg up.
Well, to be fair, he'd only seen it done twice.
Yeah, he'd only seen two throws.
Once.
Throws are hard. To do a throw for real.
Is it harder than materializing a fucking turkey out of nothing? A bird? You don't even know that it's a bird.
If you've never done a throw, you know what? He made his own food before, so assuming that's how he ate there.
He just made his own turkey?
Yeah, fucking maybe.
Maybe it's all wrong. Maybe he just saw pictures of a cooked turkey.
Maybe it just
looks... And so, like, the outside kind of looks right,
but looks
the
like a turkey. Like
jello.
The inside is, like, just fucking sand or whatever.
I hope it's just a wooden mock-up of the Ottoman Empire.
It's like a model city.
It's just of the country of Turkey or maybe the Ottoman Empire. That's what was filled in the ovens. And it's just like, what the fuck is this?
There are turkeys.
There's so many turkeys in here.
Maps of Turkey.
Globes where it's highlighted in red with an arrow.
So then he does not successfully throw Kirk. Not surprising.
Right.
Okay, Kirk throws his ass straight to the ground.
I don't know if Kirk's like, all right, enough of this, and then throws him. Or if he was trying to throw him the whole time.
It's weird, because he kind of just goes, like, has him by the shoulders, and just kind of puts him down. Like, yeah.
So Johnny Bowfleck starts laughing at him.
Yeah, Johnny Bowfleck starts laughing.
He wasn't even laughing. He was cackling. He's cackling at this kid who's on the ground and could not stop. And Kirk is even like, he just won't fucking stop laughing at this
kid. Like, every time, if I see somebody fall, you know, you laugh. That's something people kind of laugh at. I know he's never been around that, but then Charlie fucking wishes him out of existence.
Yeah.
He just power shit faced that guy right into the fucking cornfield.
Yeah. Just appears that he
and
just
he literally just put him in the fucking cornfield. So we're ripping straight off from Twilight Zone on this one because Kirk's like, what did you do? And he's like, he wasn't nice to me. And all I could think was, he shouldn't have thought those mean things about me. And I had Kirk there and he's like, that's real good. You put that fucking worthless crew member in the cornfield. It's real good, Charlie.
It's great. He looks better that way. Yeah, well, I mean,
it's a good thing you did there, Charlie.
Then they have that second scene. That's the one where it looks
like he calls out the
security in, and he wishes away all the phasers.
Yeah, wishing in the cornfield,
and then Kirk just kind of stern faces him into obeying.
Yeah, that's like a 5 minute.
He's like,
that's like a.
He says, "I will pick you up and carry you there."
Yeah, there's like 30 cuts. I think a commercial break between them.
There were a lot of
lighting changes every cut.
Well, the lighting goes from fully lit room to only on Charlie's eyes.
Well, that's
eventually also on.
That is only on to Kirk's eyes because everyone else just disappears and just because just eyes and it's like, oh,
it's because Charlie and Kirk are just having a battle of the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little continuity.
No, just lights. That's how powerful both of these people are. Charlie made the lights only go on his eyes, and Kirk probably called down to engineering and was like, hey, divert some power from the fucking ovens to only be blasting on my eyes.
Yeah, but he's gotta cook all those turkey maps.
Yeah.
All those mock-ups of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, all the Constantinobles.
So then we have that scene.
Then Charlie goes to his room.
Yeah, he goes along. Because serious eyes.
Yeah, it's the eyes. Yes.
So then they have that scene where
In
the conference room, where at first I thought Spock was by himself talking into those, like...
Yeah, it was definitely Spock talking into a variety pack of Post-its.
Yeah.
For no reason, because as soon as he turned to talk to Bones and Kirk, he just threw them on the table like, fuck these things.
Fuck these,
Threw them across the table.
I think they're data disks. Later, that's what data disks are. When they're like, hey, do you have all those star charts? Oh, yeah. Right here. I think later on that's what those are.
Yeah, here, do something with these.
Probably just props right now. Hey, hold these Post-its in the scene so it looks like science fiction.
Well, I mean, do posters exist in
the future?
Well, when they, well, I mean, when they made Star Trek,
I don't know.
Use as a prop, or were those just,
those weren't post-its?
Were those leftovers of the wooden turkeys?
Yeah, those are. Yeah, those might be the
leftovers of the different color wooden turkeys. The cutouts.
My favorite line is, you know, Bunt says, or is it Spock, which says, doesn't have any regard for human life because he blew up the ship, wished away the crewman. And Kirk says, he doesn't understand what life is. And I just love that line. That was a great line, and the delivery was very Kirk. It's what, you know, we come to just see as Shatner.
Old Billy Shatz. They keep going towards Earth Colony 5.
They say he learned to talk on the planet. Since he's been gone for like 15 years?
I guess. It's got to be 15 years. Or I think they said 12, but I was like, a five-year-old should at least...
Yeah, they said 12 at some point.
Have some comprehension of words and shit.
Yeah, maybe he used to be...
Maybe saw a woman in 5 years of life.
Yeah, so then they're like, what are we going to do with this guy? And Kirk basically is like, I'm just going to be a dad and sternize him into submission until we can figure something else out.
Yeah, but we're going to take him to Worst Name Colony 5.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't think of anything better. I think Bones finally realized he was being an asshole the whole time and was like, we're going to let him free among everyone? That's a terrible idea. And then Spock's like, yeah, we shouldn't do that. And Kirk's like, no, it'll be fine.
Yeah, so then they go
I'll forever stare at him and tell
him. No, they're deciding to not go to Earth Colony 5.
Kirk agrees. They try to change course.
Because, yeah, the next scene is them on the bridge. They're changing course. He comes on and starts making Spock recite poetry.
Yeah, so he just starts going, Charlie just starts going batshit bonkers.
And Kirk kind of is like, hey, don't tamper with free will. I mean, that's not what he says, but that's essentially what he's like saying to him.
Is this our first panel exploding, or has that already happened in one of the first two episodes?
First panel exploding, yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully,
they're like casual about it. She's like, oh, this one shouldn't have exploded. I just checked it.
Nah, that shouldn't have happened.
Like,
I think she's saying, like if you ran out of gas and you just, like, I just filled up. It's like, I just checked it, so there definitely shouldn't be anything wrong here.
Yeah, yeah, my explosion meter was low.
Yeah. This panel. Yeah, that's what it felt like. And
like, oh, this is set to explode for another 3 days.
The rest of the next Star Trek for the next 40 or 50 years bear that out.
Yeah.
So many panel explosions. Must be from those overloading ovens.
Yeah, it's definitely from the ovens.
Fucking ovens.
These ovens run a lot of power. Take a lot of power. A
lot of juice. So then Charlie just starts going fucking hog wild.
Yeah, my note is just, what the fuck, kid?
Yeah, he runs down and he turns space meth into an iguana.
Yeah. For fuck. Because she says hi. She just says hi to him.
No, she says, like, are you okay, right?
I think she just said his name.
Voice some kind of concern.
I think she just said his name and he fucking was like, oh.
Very polite.
Iguana.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Iguana.
Yeah, you crack.
Also, that's never resolved. I think she's still an iguana.
No, I think when they take away his powers and bring the people he disappeared back.
You only see the one.
Yeah, they only... Okay. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Goes into Rand's room, Rand Paul's room, and just wants to get sexy with her.
Yeah, he just goes in, and I was a little worried. Like, I've seen this episode before, but I was a little worried that he was going to space rape her.
Real
it's
close.
It's a little implied. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it cuts to commercial.
I think if Spock and Kirk hadn't... Yeah, it cuts to commercial. But if Spock and Kirk hadn't come in, I think he would have just froze her brain and fucked her.
She turned on her communicator, which apparently goes directly to the captain's chair.
Well, she is the command crew's personal yeoman, so maybe she has a direct line to him.
Yeah, she flipped one switch, which I assume was the power button.
Right, one switch.
And it went directly there. So then Kirk and Spock like, oh shit, we gotta go stop a rape. I think Spock was more into stopping it than Kirk was. I think Kirk was like, maybe just let him get it out of his system. Or he'll be tired and it'll be easier to to handle afterwards.
Yeah, he'll be weak in the knees after he's...
Yeah.
I don't think there was any evidence for any of that, but okay. I also didn't see any evidence. I'm just following the purpose.
Anecdotal. So yeah, they fight. Charlie does throw Spock, throws him off so hard that it breaks his legs and
the wall
behind him, which I was like, oh.
Because it drywall. Broke the set, you know? It broke the set, but like, sure, you know, he threw him into it hard enough.
I mean, they could have probably reshot that scene so you didn't see a broken wall in a metal spaceship. Or just been like, yeah, fuck it, broke the metal wall. That's how tough Vulcans are. Only lost two legs.
Yeah, only broke his legs. Although, how did he break his legs? Not sure how force was applied there, but...
They threw
him. Kirk landed on him.
Yeah, okay.
And then, him and Rand said something? Question mark? To Charlie?
Well, he disappears the omen.
Yeah, he's just wrong because she slaps him.
Yeah.
And she's finally like, fuck off.
Yeah.
How are you not getting it? Fuck off.
You can't hurt Kirk because he needs Kirk to run the spaceship.
Yeah.
Kirk says he needs Spock's help.
So he fixes Spock's legs.
Yeah, he fixes Spock's legs.
But Yeom and Rand is just gone.
Yeah,
she disappeared.
Next, they're having that scene where... Well, no, he takes full command of the ship at that point, right?
Yeah, he's just running around the ship doing whatever he wants. He
fucking wants.
Oh, like, yeah.
He turns someone faceless.
Yeah.
He freezes a bunch of people.
Just freezes people.
Turns one woman into Ethel Mertz.
He did. He turned the blonde or redhead woman into Ethel Mertz, but very old Ethel Mertz.
And then...
And then Kirk... comes up with a great idea, like, oh, maybe he's running low on power.
So yeah, he's taking full command, and he's not wishing any of us away. Maybe he's like, maybe there's a limit.
Well, he told them I could run the other ship. I could run the other ship, but yeah. This one's too. He tells them like this one's too hard. I can't run it on my own. But then he tries.
But then he does. So, he's doing it successfully.
Kirk's supposition there's backed up by some evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his plan is...
He just says, I'm going to take him on. That's what he says. I'm going to take him on. Like, oh, yeah?
Yeah, let's go Kirk. Turn on those consoles.
Yeah, your plan is to just have a physical confrontation with somebody who has...
Well, long enough to distract him so Bones can tranquilize him is what he says.
Yeah. They wanted to tranquilize him, but his plan to diminish more of Charlie's powers was to have... Bones
all
and
the lights on.
Just flick on and off all the lights and turn on all the speakers and shit.
Maybe it was like sensors and things.
They come at him with a
vacuum. It was to just turn the lights on.
That's all they did.
They turn all the ovens up to 400.
Whatever they could do right there in that room.
Yeah, ovens up to 600.
They can do a lot. That's the bridge.
They can't keep people off that aren't fucking Starfleet personnel.
They're just firing the phasers at nothing.
Can't cook the meat.
Can't cook the meat. Non-oven form. The cutouts of turkey.
Yeah, so then they have that very serious eye battle / confrontation.
Actual battle.
Just, I mean, there's still a lot of eye battling.
It's only lit from eye battling point of view. Like, I couldn't even see Spock behind next to Kirk.
That carpet burn.
And then they finally, like, beat him or whatever. Like, he loses control of the ship. And Kirk's, like, about to just lay punch into him.
Yeah.
And then, and then the Wizard of Oz shows up.
Machina. Yeah. Just... Okay, now we're going to resolve the story with something we haven't had before.
Yeah.
I like, if I were Kirk, I would have been like, oh, pff, just punched him anyway. Just like, fuck this kid.
That would feel, like a Kirk kind of thing.
Oz.
Like, oh, it's too late to stop.
Yeah, Oz did show up and didn't even announce who the fuck he was. They just totally skipped it.
Beaten.
He's just one of those.
I assume he was a Thasian.
Thetans, yeah.
Yeah, Thetans. Yeah. He was a Michael Thetan. And he just showed up but didn't say anything. And
Yeah, he's and shimmering there for a while before he docks.
And nobody says anything to him. And he starts by talking like, well, we're going to take him back. We didn't know that he escaped. Sorry, guys. We couldn't save the other ship, but, you know, we saved your crew members, but we're only going to give you one back.
I think Yeoman Rand just appeared because she's the named character that we got to that we're going to see.
Well, he didn't take Lizard Girl away. He's turned her into a lizard.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she went back, but maybe not.
I don't think so.
It'd be a great Easter egg if for the rest of the season there's just like a fucking lizard that's part of the crew.
I hope it didn't
like, just hanging out.
I hope it didn't go down the vent when they were checking the warp speed with the dowel.
God, I hope not.
Because she would be fucking dead.
Yeah. Super dead.
That's just out into space.
But yeah, and then Charlie just has the worst.
It's kind of like, oh no, like, don't send worst, me away. Like, I'll be 3-year-old
breakdown you could possibly have. Like, no, I can't touch them. They don't love. I'm sad.
Yeah, and then it's kind of sad. Like, no one says anything.
Yeah, everyone is
Jacob.
Everyone is just kind of like, oh, fuck this guy. Like, I'm so glad he is out of our hands. But then Kirk finally, like, speaks up and says, like, no, he could learn to be not such a shit. And they're like, no, he can't.
No, he'll destroy you or you'll destroy him to protect yourself. And he's like, well, what about his powers? And they're like, we gave him his powers so he could live.
Yeah, so that he would survive.
That's the only reason.
And now he's a fucking idiot.
He's a terrible, shitty kid.
So Spock was right from the beginning.
Yeah, with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah.
And again, Spock was right.
And he's begging them to come back or, like, let him stay. And they're just kind of like,
yeah.
Well, kid, shouldn't have been such a fuck. Shouldn't have been such a rotten fucker. Otherwise, we'd have, you know, spoke up a little more than, no, wait, stop. Let him stay. All right.
It was like Willy Wonka right there at the end.
It was like,
no, don't stop. Yeah, he disappeared. Shucks. Well, back to life.
Yeah, and then everyone just kind of goes back to normal. I wonder if, like, Kirk or the executive crew is, like, filling out a fuckload of paperwork for every episode that we watch. Because in every episode, something happens.
In this case,
it's got to be like, so-and-so turned into a lizard. Somebody lost their face. Somebody got aged 45 years. Somebody two people vanished. All of our phasers
exploded.
All of our phasers are gone.
Yeah, the reports they send to Starfleet have got to just be nightmarish because every single one they have to send is always marked with the other box that you have to write out a full fucking thing. It can't just be like,
well, I mean,
it can't be like, oh, you're pulling into Space Colony 5. Do you need anything? Yes. What do you need? A full shipload of fucking phasers. Why? Malfunction? Manufacturer error? Other. The fucking one-of-a-kind space entity fucking stole all of our goddamn phasers.
You got to imagine that, like, the Enterprise has its own forms that say, like, manufacturer error, broken, need of repair.
Godlike apparition.
Godlike entity / one-of-a-kind creature destroyed.
Yeah. One-of-a-kind sentient creature that needed to be killed. Requisition 3 new computers. And 17 crew members. On one of them pugil sticks that broke too. Oh yeah,
I think the
springy Bowflex arm thing in the wall that needs to get fixed, and the rape table, that thing just exploded.
Oh yeah, that force field.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and the walls connected to the force field.
Wow, that's pretty solid. I like that. You just remove the. It's like fucking around with the apparatus. I don't know what's important. I'm taking the whole wall out.
Yeah, wall's gone. Then I'm gonna freeze Kirk and Spock, but
it's not wasn't very nice, even though I've just killed people.
But not anything on Kirk. I'm not going to freeze anything on Kirk. He's still going to breathe and, like, kind of shake.
Yeah, I could. I wasn't even sure he was supposed to be frozen. He's moving so much.
I thought he just was it had me in a long Shatnerian pause. While Nimoy was the consummate professional, just like, I'm not going to move whatsoever.
His movements are very, you know, specific. So.
And Shatner's over there doing, like, doo-wop and shit. God, that's better than the last episode. They're definitely better than the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fucking unwatchable.
Well, I mean, not unwatchable, because we watched it.
It's,
we made it through.
I would rather watch fucking Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives for 6 hours.
All right. Should we just pause this and start a new podcast? Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I don't want to talk on a podcast where...
Because it's just going to be me.
Coked out lesbian eats fucking terrible food all day.
It's just going to be me saying gobble, gobble, full throttle all the time. That's the whole podcast.
Jesus. You cut a while ago, Peter.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the podcast On the Edge of Forever. Please tune in next time.
There's no dial. Stop fucking telling people to tune in. God damn it. Nobody's listening on their fucking Marconi fucking radio.
God damn it. It's a turn of phrase, you son of a bitch.
You turn of phrase.
I don't even fuck phrase me.
You.
Is there a turn of phrase that could turn a fucking dial?
You can turn.
Do I need a phonograph?
Hey, we're hey.
Not.
I've got something for you to turn out, motherfucker.
Gotta know how that works. Is there a slide bar?
Thurgood Marshall, you're a great guest.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time out to do this terrible shit show. This episode that we just did, that was better than the fucking pilot.